Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? This is a Want to Know edition, number four edition, LS Who edition of the Listen Up Podcast. It is your boy Brandon.
This your boy Sam.
Hey man, we are ready to dive into it. I don't want to waste no time. We don't have to wait a couple of days. We've all seen what's happened. We've seen all the speculation. The polls have come out. Clemson has lost. I mean, it's a lot of stuff to tackle, man. Sam, what you want to dive into first, man?
Let's get into the game.
Of course, of course. I mean, so as we know right now, it's 45. I'm gonna say 17, because I mean, they got 24 points, but it was, you know, well after the game was over with. But anyway, I mean, it was a tale of two halves, right? I thought, yeah, and I know you, Sam, you know, I kind of know how you think a little bit. I think you may even tweeted it out. Going into halftime, I was like, we probably played our worst half of football that I'd seen in a long time. And at least, what, 7-8 games? They didn't look polished. They didn't look crisp. They were making a lot of dumb turnovers. It didn't look like a, you know, Mike Norvell team. And then second half, it was a completely, completely different ball club that came out. And we saw how good these guys really, really can be. And it looked a lot like how I expected. Way too many weapons.
Yeah, I thought the first half, when I was watching it, I was kind of concerned. I was like, damn, they was getting home with three, especially in that second quarter. They was getting home with three. And then in the first half, the first quarter, I felt like our defensive tackles was playing well, but I didn't feel like our ends was really doing nothing the whole game. Second quarter. Huh?
Yeah, they were missing.
Yeah, so and I thought Jordan had got kind of razzled, I thought he kind of got like a little, you know, he was a little shaky. And this is where I have to give Mike like a lot of credit, because I thought him kind of managing the offense where he didn't let them lose the game by making crazy turnovers or running crazy plays. He kind of like gave him like easy throws, you know what I'm saying? And just kind of settled the offense down going into the half, where they was able to, you know, get a touchdown. I think they got a touchdown. They kicked the field goal, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. And I thought he did a good job managing them, because I thought it was kind of getting away from the offensive line a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
And, it definitely was.
Yep. Yeah, and on the line of scrimmage, I thought it was getting away from them. Now, I thought because of the way – I think when you're watching the game at the game live and you can see everything that's going on, I think Mike kind of felt like, because the way I was watching, I thought Rose said it, he tweeted it also, like, LSU had wide receivers running wide open. Like, anytime they ran a motion, they was running wide open. But your boy could not see, it's like he couldn't see him, and he wasn't going to unload the clip and hit the wide receiver. So I think because of that reason, it gave Mike confidence, like, okay, I can settle my offense. I'm going to score eventually. And I think, and I also felt like Brian Kelly felt anxiety to score touchdowns and not kick field goals. I thought two of them fourth down calls, he should have actually kicked the field goal.
It wouldn't have made no difference.
Well, I'm saying I think it would have. I think
it would have ended the same way. Regardless,
I think the defense did a great job of playing big in big moments. They didn't always play great, but I thought in the big moment when they had to get a stop on fourth and one or fourth and two at the goal line, they did a good job rising to the occasion. And I thought that was probably, I think, because sometimes you have to manage your team where you don't give the game away before you can go take the game. And I thought coming out that third quarter, I thought Mike did a good job taking the game from LSU. Him and Jordan Travis and those wide receivers. And man, I know I said this on the pod that Keon Coleman can, like, I felt like he could swing games for us.
Yeah.
He's one of the few players I felt like could do that on the roster.
Right.
And yeah, man, that dude might be one of the best wide receivers FSU's had in a really long time. I think somebody said, only person I come up, somebody said Bolden. I think maybe Javon Walker was pretty good too. But yeah, other than those two, I don't know if it's been a wide receiver that good at FSU in a long, long time, man. And I like KB. You know how much I like Rashad Green. But, man, I mean, Coleman just looked different, dude. He really do. Like, seeing him up close and personal, he looked different, dude.
My man said there's no 50-50 balls.
Like, yeah, admit that.
You know what I mean? admit that. You know what I mean? Like, it's a little different when your man say ain't no 50-50 balls and then just grab all the 50-50 balls.
If you got
a dude who's 90-10, that's real, real good. Mm-hmm. But when you go 100% on 50-50 balls,
yeah,
sheesh. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to get spooky hours. You know what I mean? Like, I thought the biggest thing was how tough this team is. Watching again, you watch it from the stadium, and I don't know if they ever, you know, hung their head or anything like that. But on the side, like, you never thought that they were like, all right, they got us. Like, it felt early on that Florida State felt very confident that they could beat LSU, and they were going to beat LSU. They just needed to settle down. And it was as soon as they settled down, I don't know what it took. I don't know what we do know a little bit what Mike said to him at halftime, but whatever he did, he calmed them enough to be able to actually execute the second half completely differently than they did in the first half.
Yeah, inserting Bless Harris into the lineup, I think was
very big adjustment.
I think that was a big adjustment. I think
you said that though. We said that, and I said I think it wouldn't even they may not make it to the game depending on how they are through the game with that lineup, depending on how, you know, that game goes. So
yeah, and I think putting Edmund in for Pat Payton was a big adjustment also.
Very much.
And I kind of figured that game wouldn't be a great game for him because just of the matchups in that game.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think Norvell really adjusted scheme wise. I think he just kind of made certain substitution with certain guys. You know what I'm saying? The Pat Payton, Bless Harris. And I think he changed somebody else on the offensive line too in the guard position.
He did. I forgot who it was, but yeah, he did. He made two adjustments to the offensive line.
I think it might have been Jones.
Don't make me lie to you.
It's tough because they don't call it out in the statement. They don't really call that out. So you just have to. So I know he made some adjustments on that offensive line, but I think once he did that, man, it just kind of cemented everything. And then after that, they were just able to just go play.
Right. And at that point, you saw that. That's when we were able to see how talented this team can be. Like, the first half was so, I guess, discombobulated. I thought the refs, you were in the group chat. I was watching from home, looking at this, thinking, are the refs intentionally cheating? Like, it looked real wild on TV.
I will say this right here, to be honest with you. And I know Rose said it because we were both at the game. We wasn't next to each other, but he was somewhere else. But I know when I was watching on the kick return, on the kickoff, Jared versus on the kickoff, right?
Mm-hmm.
They kick the ball off. Jared Verse runs straight down the field, and he's like, because the ball's clearly going into the end zone. Like, he's like saying certain shit, like saying certain stuff. And the referee like pulled him aside. And then, like, once that happened, I was kind of like, that probably wasn't a great idea to do all that talking, you know, as soon as the ball get kicked off.
Yeah.
And another thing I think influenced a lot of it was, and I know people don't want to hear this, but this is something true because I know I listened to Sean Payton say this. If you hit somebody on the other team sideline, where their players and coaches are at, it's like they influence the referee to throw flags. They 100%. And it's just in the game. So a lot of times, and then one time FSU had the guy out of bounds. They was holding the guy, and then somebody just ran in and like hit him. And I'm like, what you want to do? They're gonna throw a flag. You know what I'm saying?
And I agree with you on all of it, but let me, we don't spend very much time on the refs because we won the game. But what I will say, those calls didn't look the same. I know how they felt in the stadium. I'm telling you, when I on watching like the game we talked about where he was, where they were holding him up, somebody came and hit him. That was not a boneheaded play. It did not look like he was out of bounds, and it really looked like he was still fighting for yards when he came in and hit him. So I'm like, that's too close of a call to make. The holding call, when personal foul that they called on the sideline, I thought that was legit. The problem is they picked up a clear holding on that same play call. And that's the thing that didn't get showed. Like, dudes getting grabbed, and they was getting held all night long. and they weren't calling it that first. Like, they just refused to call it. For LSU to have finished that first half with zero penalties,
but I thought
it definitely helped them out because they were not committing zero penalties for you to have ended the game with zero.
Yeah, but I think when you get into those big-time matchups, because the FSU get called for a holding, because I don't think those referees like to call holding in big-time matchups, though. I mean, I don't know. I don't really recall.
I don't recall,
like,
there was a holding either. You're right. There were no calls on a holding either. I don't believe so either. Yep.
Yeah, I don't think, like, in those big matchups, I mean, I don't think you really want referees calling holding in big matchups. Like, unless it's, like, really egregious, like tackling somebody to the ground.
It was, they were at the point of contact. Now, like, on that one specifically, it was when he threw the flag enough to have called it. Why would he have then picked it up to enforce the personal foul? I think that was the thing. The roughing the pass, right. Correct. Even the roughing the pass on Jordan Travis, that didn't get called. Yeah, man, see, was clearly down. That's got to be called.
On that particular one, to me, like, just looking at it, it looked like the player jumped over Jordan Travis, and then another looked like he was sliding. They started sliding at the same time. I thought that was iffy. I thought Jordan probably should have got it, but I didn't. I couldn't really sit there and say, throw it, don't throw it. I don't know, man, because I'm one of the people, like, I want to see it as fast as possible. I'm one of those people.
I'm with you too. I mean, I'm just saying, like, I thought that was that helped LSU get in position and make a game out of again, they were able to make it out of a game early in that half. I thought because referees' assistance. That's my opinion. It don't matter because, again, I even with all of that, when we went to the half 17-14, I looked at the game and said, FSU gonna win this game. Like, there was zero doubt in my mind that FSU was gonna win the game when they went in 17-14.
Right.
Because I was like, at this point, it was almost simple. Stop throwing these passes to Johnny Wilson. Start throwing them to Keon Coleman. We respect Johnny and everything he got to do, but you got a dude who's better. So let's just swap the roles and see how better the offense gets. And what you saw in the second half was, all right, we'll get to you if you open, and we trust you to catch it a little bit. But we know we got this other dude over here, and we've been kind of keeping it quiet. So let's just go ahead and feature him.
I thought that was another factor that you know, that I had concern for going into the game, and I think I said it to you. I said on the podcast, I was like, is he going to be on the same page with Keon Coleman going right into the game? Because if he is, okay, you got you something. Because, I mean, like I told people, I like Johnny Wilson, man, but if you throw it to him eight times, he's going to catch it four. And they're going to be big plays and big plays. You know, I ain't saying they're not going to be big plays. They're going to be big plays.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they are.
But sometimes they drive killers. You know what I'm saying?
He killed momentum. Like, that's the problem. It wasn't the fact that he dropped the first down. You dropping third down, first downs. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that one, he's in the middle of the field with nobody within 10 yards of him. You know what I mean? He's going to run for another 20 yards. That's a drive killer. That is a momentum killer. It kills your quarter. Like, you saw Jordan Travis' confidence even drop after that last one, that last third down drop. That was when Jordan started pressing. You know what I mean? Because at this point, he was like, dog, my number one guy is not giving me what I need. At this point, you know, I think that was what started a little bit of him kind of getting a little rattled. All right, we need to get some points, and my main guy ain't doing it. Right. Again, I don't know who told him, hey, man, you got another dude on this other side. Like, we ain't got to use him. This ain't last year. You don't have to force it to Johnny. We got somebody else. And I think it took him a minute to realize, I don't have to force it to Johnny. And as Keon Coleman continued to make plays and continued to show he was him, it eventually went. I don't know if you saw that second half. It was like 90-30. You know what I mean? It was real. It was like 90-10 in the ball percentages of where he was going versus, you know what I mean? He looking for Keon first. And if Johnny open, I might throw it to Johnny.
Yeah, I mean,
that switched in his brain, in my opinion.
Sometimes you got to go. And, like, I think that was my biggest thing going into the game. Like, you know, what big-time players are going to show up in the big-time spots? And he's, like, what player's going to separate himself? And, you know, you seen the all-across college football yesterday, too.
Yep.
Not yesterday, but the whole weekend, like, these big-time players separating themselves from the rest of the pack, saying, oh, nah, I'm on the field today, so I'm finna take the game over. And Keon Coleman, man, Jesus Christ, dude. He was open. I'm gonna say this. Watching the game, the first half, they could have threw him the ball about seven straight times, and I promise you he would have caught seven straight. He would have had 150 yards going into the second half.
He was that open? It looked like that because again, I don't see it on TV.
I'm dead serious. He was that open, dude.
Sheesh,
that open.
Yeah, see, and that's what I mean. Like, it's going, and this is what I talked about, and this is what we talked about before the game, right? I looked again. This is without seeing Keon. This is just off of the hype that they were talking about. I looked around and said, "How do you stop Jaheim Bell? How do you stop Keon Coleman? How do you stop the stable of running backs? How do you stop Jordan?"
Well,
it gets really difficult.
The running back situation, but you know.
Listen, I thought again, just like last year, I thought the running backs played ran timid in between the tackles. I don't know why they started the same way last season. Well, no, and then built their confidence up along. They missed holes. It's not running backs though.
It's one running back. It's not running.
It is one running back, and I'm trying not to, because that's what I know we got. Back. We got a fan club member, in the audience. So we're gonna keep it chill.
I think he's a very good running back.
These
matchups, man, you got to have quick feet and decisive. You got to be decisive with quick feet and good vision. And I think with him, it's a little bit of a struggle sometimes for him in those really type of matchups. But I'm going to tell you something, though. I'm not playing. Rodney Hill is going to be like, by the time he's all said and done at FSU, Rodney Hill going to be like a top five running back at FSU.
Here's why I like Rodney Hill. Rodney Hill – There's just certain players who just got a little bit of edge to them. Rodney, listen to Rodney Hill speak. You realize he got some edge to him, and I like that. But you listen to Jaheim Bell, he got some edge to him. You know what I mean? You listen to the guy speak, and you realize, these are the things we were talking about. We were like, we don't have no dogs on this team. Who's the leader of your team? What's your identity? What's your team's identity? And this team's identity is toughness. I thought, man, one of the most favorite things I enjoyed is at the end of that game, as Jaheim Bell is piling on points. You look at Mike's face. Mike had the Kobe eyes. You know what I mean? Mike looked like he was ready. You know what I mean? Like, he was dialed in. Like, I want to see that. You know what I mean? You want to see that fire, right? Because that permeates through your team. Your team kept fighting. Your team kept playing, and they kept going because their coach was like, "Nah, let's keep going." And I think that's a wonderful thing for Mike, because again, Mike came from where I thought he was close to losing the locker room to rebuilding an entirely new locker room. You know what I mean? That's impressive, man. That's very impressive. I thought you talked about it. We talked about the game being won or lost in the trenches. It was a tale of two halves. The adjustments made by Mike Norvell on the offensive line completely shut down everything. Harold Perkins, me and you may disagree. I said he was a no-show. According to Pro Football Focus, which I really don't like dealing with, he was the worst graded player on the field that night. I thought we did it. Whatever we schemed against him, I thought we did an amazing job scheming against him.
Well, I think the Harold Perkins thing, this is what I say. In the first half, I thought they did the right thing with him by saying, we're going to spy. We're going to kind of allow you to make sure you keep Jordan in the pocket and flush him and things. And he was jumping, like a lot of time with Jordan was like double clutching. You seen him double clutch a lot in the first half. Well, that was Perkins jumping into lanes, right? So I was fine with that. But I thought, and this is why NFL coaches are better than college coaches. Because why did you just decide I'm just gonna leave him? First of all, you made it very easy to identify him as the spy linebacker. You made that very easy to identify.
Very easy.
So you came back the second half thinking, okay, now they're going to probably start moving him around. No, they just left him there. So he was just
out of space freestyling.
Yeah, so he just left in no man's land and just, I mean, it was just kind of crazy to me. So the first half, I thought the whole game he did was what he was asked to do, but it didn't ask him to do much. So I just thought it was kind of bad coach. I thought Norvell just outcoached.
I was just going to say, is there certain coaches that just have other coaches' number? Because in every matchup against Brian Kelly, I felt like he's out. Even without the better team, he has outcoached Brian Kelly. Like, every single time they match up, I just feel like he outcoaches Brian Kelly. And Mac Brown's another one. I hope North Carolina ends up, where we end up having to play them. Mac Brown, he gets outcoached by Mike every time. Like, every single time, whatever he bringing into the stadium is getting out coached. I don't know why it is, but certain coaches have other coaches' number. I guess what I'm trying to figure out, how do you get that advantage? Because if I'm Brian Kelly and I know exactly what I have a year to prepare for what this coach is getting ready to do, how do you get out coached this poorly? Because he got our coach, like, it wasn't close. And again, even in the first half, I didn't think, again, I thought FSU did a lot to kill themselves versus LSU imposing their will. I thought they had, some guys making a play here and there. But for the most part, I felt like FSU just kept aiding them on defense and then not capitalizing on offense. The game plan was the game plan, and it was going to work regardless. Like, how do you, you know what I mean? How does one coach end up with that much of an advantage in the coaching skill without, you know what I mean, or in that coaching level without it?
I think what LSU was doing in the first half was they did the right things. They just didn't, like, sometimes, I know people don't want to hear this because it's like a cliche word from coaches. Sometimes you're just not executing. Like LSU come out the first drive, they run the motion, they hit the swing play, right? You know this defense don't deal with motion, they hit the swing play. Dude run down the field 80 yards, right?
They don't do that well at all.
But. Yeah, I'm just saying. I mean, so it's not like, you know, they just wasn't doing it. They just didn't execute in big moments. Then you get down the field, and Jaden Daniels, instead of handing the ball off, decides to take the ball, and the dude hits him for a loss. And then he decides, instead of taking the ball, he hands the ball. He was getting hit for another loss. Now it's 4th and 1. Then Jaden Daniels can't throw the fade route, right? So he throws it clearly behind the guy. Then the guy said, man, throw the ball up. Then he throw it clearly out of bounds the next time. It's like, I'll tell you.
Hold on. But I told you, Sam, I said this.
Yeah, but my thing is.
He was going to have to prove to me he can throw. When Kirk kept saying, like, you just leaving him out on islands.
Yeah.
Right. That's disrespect. We don't believe you can hit this guy consistently enough. So we will forget the safety help, bring everybody up. You know what I mean? What they do in baseball, everybody up. Come on, guy. You ain't got to worry about him hitting out the park. That's what it was. It was simply, no, we trust our guys enough that your guy cannot make this throw. And all night long, he could not make that throw. I thought he did a decent job in the first half. You know what I mean? Of getting some of those comeback routes.
No, dude. In that first half, FSU had, they was turning guys loose in the secondary. Deuce was wide open. He wasn't throwing the ball. And I'm not saying this to take anything away from FSU. I'm just saying in general, sometimes your team just don't execute. Like, I looked at Clemson and Duke yesterday. It's clear to me that Clemson was better than Duke yesterday. But you're not executing simple handoffs. You're fumbling the ball. You're kicking it all around a lot. You know what I'm saying? And then you look up. You're in the fourth quarter when you got this score, and now you all types of trouble. You're just not executing. Like, and you can say, the coach got out-coached. And I think
Sam, Norvell out-coached him. I can't do it with Duke, Sam.
No, I'm just saying in general.
It's Clemson and Duke.
Right.
We have been playing football for a long time, and Duke has never beat us.
But
and we've had some really bad teams.
But you're asking about coaching. You're asking about
coaching. I get what you're saying.
Sometimes it's just as simple as people are just not executing. And that's fine. And I told somebody, because we was on a timeline arguing about Colorado. And I was saying, that Colorado team was just put together 3 months ago. How are they executing at that type of a level, in that type of a game, in that type of a spot? Like, you have to give coaches and players credit for doing that. Like, that's hard. Because all across college football yesterday, you know what I saw?
A whole lot of penalties.
People not executing. You know what I'm saying? People missing wide open throws. People throwing swing routes to running backs, just making the running backs have to stop, come back, and catch the ball and get tackled for losses.
We're going to get back to Florida State, but I do want to – that's a very good point you made, because it was the first thing I noticed. They got to halftime and didn't have a single penalty. And wasn't close to get – like, I didn't see anything that I thought they got away with. They literally – like, you got to give Deion some credit when it comes to just having that team mentally ready for that game. Like you said, this is a makeshift group of guys who never have known each other. To get them to jail, buy in for a first game, and then execute under pressure against a team who was in the championship, who you were 21-point underdog to, I thought it was very, very
And impressive. It wasn't fluky. It wasn't a block
punt.
No,
they won the game.
It wasn't
a
pick-six, fumble return. It wasn't – you know what I'm saying? It's just, okay, we're going to execute down the football field consistently. Mm-hmm. And, like, I do say this right here, and I say this all the time. When team execute at a high level, it breaks the will of the other team, because we are kicking the ball all the way around the football field. We are missing blocks, and they're not. And every time that happens, it puts more and more pressure on every possession that you have. And you kind of you can feel the stress of LSU's defense in that game, because they were like, damn, we got to be damn near perfect on everything we do. And even when we're perfect, they're still catching the football, because Keon Coleman is the ultimate cheat code. You know what I'm saying? So – you know, sometimes, like I say this all the time, you can execute a team into the ground, man. And that's what Georgia did at TCU in that next championship game.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It just
– clinic.
It's a clinic. You know what I'm saying? Clinic. So you have to give teams – I give teams credit when I see stuff like that. I'm like, man, you know, that's a high-level execution. And that can break the will of a team that's not mentally tough. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thought that was, and that was evident as well as it got to the end of the game. It was a whole lot of quitting in LSU. You know what I mean? It was a whole lot of just people standing out there. You know what I mean? This is a violent game.
The only thing I couldn't understand about Brian Kelly was, especially after that first quarter, I got to be honest with you, after that first quarter, after I seen as many wide receivers I saw running open, and I know he had to see it, and his coach had to see it from the box, it's no way I wouldn't have made a coaching change. I mean, a quarterback change. It's no way. It's just no way. I'd have been like, hey, man. I can't do this. I can't do this the rest of the way.
Hold on, though. Here's the thing, right?
I'm just saying. I couldn't have did
it. No. I'm with you. I'd have been like, okay, bro. Okay. The man, you were in the stadium. Yeah. Every few minutes, they would flash Jordan Travis's and Jayden Daniels' Heisman odds on the screen. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to be – you got to be – Nick Saban the only one doing stuff like that. Ain't very many coaches pulling that trigger. I agree with you. I'm just saying, Brian Kelly ain't got the swag, the cachet. He ain't him. He ain't gonna be.
It was no way.
I agree with you.
It was
because again, if they're as open as you were seeing, I didn't. Again, we couldn't see it on there. I would have probably made it, or we would have been like, hey man, just throw it to this dude. You know what I mean? We'd have like really simplified the offense. Yeah. Hey, you line up, you throw it to him. We'll deal with the consequences, but he's been open all game. Just throw it out to see what happened. The problem was, even when he was doing that, they were short. So it was giving the defenders time when he did.
He missed a dude, I think it was 11, Brian Thompson. He missed Brian Thompson damn near wide. I mean, this wide dude open. Was wide open. Mm-hmm. He threw the safety into the play.
That's what I mean. What I'm saying. He was helping our defenders look better than what they were.
I was like,
but that's why I said when I picked Florida State, what did I tell you? Give me my quarterback to make that play over him. Because unless something's changed and he could all of a sudden throw the football.
Yeah, the AZ play. Yeah, the AZ play.
Right. Yeah, that was exactly the play. Yeah. Unless he had gotten better throwing the football, which I hadn't seen, I was going to ride with Oz. And that's what happened. Our defense did exactly what they needed to do. Again, it's funny how Florida State does this, because they did this last season too. Where first half, you'll be like, yo, we got to fire them Fuller. In second half, it'll be like 31 straight. You know what I mean? 31 straight shutouts. Something happened in that locker room. I don't know if they don't game plan ahead of time. They like Floyd Mayweather. They got to get hit first, and then they figure out what you're doing, and then they go in and then they adjust by like round three or four. You know what I mean? Because that's what kind of Floyd talk about. He said he want to see what you feel like in the fight and then makes his adjustments. I don't know if that's who, you know what I mean, Adam Fuller is.
Right.
But if that's him, he damn good at it. Because he has done this multiple times where the group chat is like, yo, we got to fire this cat, man. Dude's still running wide open. Timeline going crazy. Second half, 31 nothing. Well, shit, I guess we ain't got nothing to say about Adam Fuller. You know what I mean?
What I will say about I think the schedule sets up perfect for them, and I thought it set up perfect.
I was just about to ask
early in the season, but now the games that I was concerned about, I'm not concerned about, but the games that I wasn't concerned about, I'm a little bit more concerned about now coming down the stretch of some of these games, because you know it is one or two quarterbacks that can take advantage of some of this stuff. But
who might them be?
Well, I'm gonna be honest with you, bro. I watched I don't know, man. I think North Carolina's gonna be really good.
I think North Carolina's gonna be good. I was impressed with North Carolina as well. I was gonna say that same thing.
Because when I missed them, when I watched them, and I went to the tailgate, but before I went to the tailgate, I went to breakfast, and I was talking to one of my friends, boyfriends, right? And me and dude was talking, and he a North Carolina fan, right? So he watched the game the night before, and he was like, dude, how many sacks did Gaynor have for y'all last year? I was like, bro, don't get me started on the Gaynor situation, because I never understood why he was out of space the whole time. This dude had like 3 sacks for North Carolina, dude. Like, he's just getting to the
court. Listen, as happy as I was, I was like, ooh. I mean, we could always use a, you know,
guy. But no, they looked good. They looked good on the front seven, though. They looked really good on the front seven. And I mean, I know people might say it's just South Carolina, but South Carolina recruit pretty good on the front seven. And they really shut South Carolina down, dude. And Drake May looked just as good. But I do think high-level quarterback play could get this team a problem on defense. But I don't really see a lot of great quarterbacks on this on this schedule to really threaten the FSU, to be honest with you. I don't really see
it. Again, that's why I said I looked at the schedule and it was like, okay, so ACC championship game? Like, Florida State should not lose a game this season. Like, just based on what we've seen from Louisville, from Miami, from Florida, from anybody else on our schedule, you know what I mean? Like, you start looking at the schedule. Again, I know it's game one and certain teams going to play a little bit better. They're going to improve. Some things may change. But from a should standpoint, Florida State should run the table.
I mean, the only teams I see with quarterback power that got enough – that I think have good enough quarterback play to beat you. I mean, Duke got a good quarterback. I don't know if they got everything else, though. Wake Forest got a – now, the Wake Forest game kind of – that's going to be tricky because – it's a lot of good wide receivers and quarterbacks, but I think you can outscore them. So I'm not even worried about that. I was just going to
say, my point, every time we talk about games this season, I'm going to be honest, unless somebody get hurt or something go different, that my answer is going to be, can they get to 40?
Right.
Like you just put 45 up on LSU and I thought you left points on the field.
Right. I think,
you know what I mean? You put 45 and you left points on the field, and that's a very good team. Like, I don't think LSU's some food, like food this season. I think LSU's going to be good. I'm saying, like, we left points on the field and we scored 45.
Yeah.
You tell me how Wake Forest is going to stop them to less than 45. Like, we would have to really have a bad game. As like Jordan Travis has to have the first half bad game for the entire game. And even then, I'm not sure we can lose.
Yeah.
Because one thing we saw in the Colorado game is when you got a difference maker and like Travis Hunter, you know that one hurt me. That one hurts a lot. But when you got a difference maker like Travis, hey, we're going to just throw it up. It's third and 16. We don't have a play here. The play is to throw it to our difference maker and make one of them 50-50 balls 100%.
Right.
And that's what, you know what I mean? And that's really what happens.
That's what
Coleman is.
In big time matchups, man, where teams can be pretty even with college players, it is the guy that's going to be a top five draft pick, a top 10 draft pick that's going to make the differences, you know? And, you know, I mean, I ain't trying to hop on the Hunter situation too much, but, you know, people can say what they want to say, but that dude is a generational talent.
Sam, the boy played 110 snaps.
And wasn't tired.
And was like, nah, I'm ready. I can go back in.
Yeah.
But what was crazy was it wasn't the fact that he was making again. I was like, listen, just let that dude play wide receiver. He ain't really got that much of an impact at DB. Just let that dude play wide out.
Nah, bro.
And then the dude be like, nah. They tried him back to back plays, and he was like, no. And then came back and then got the pick after. Like,
bro, he ran down the guy. The guy
ran him down.
He ran the guy down for 7 yards. Then turned back around 2 plays later and picked the ball off. I was like, okay, bro, that's not normal.
It's not normal. It's not normal. Like, I want people need to understand. That's not normal. Like, the reason why people is freaking out is because it's not like you don't see it. He was the best player on the field for both teams, offensively and defensively.
And this was something else I say. When you talk about quarterback play, like how good Jordan Travis was in that second half, like, I mean, completely took the game over in the second half, man. If you got a really good quarterback, bro, everything gets neutralized. Because, like, now I look at Ohio State, they're in trouble, bro. If they don't find a way to get good quarterback play out of there, they finna get beat 3 times this year, right?
Yeah.
Like, and they're definitely going to get beat by Penn State. Then you look at Colorado and, like, me and Rose argue about this. I'm like, okay, bro, you telling me all these coaches got better teams and better players. Okay, that's fine. But, I mean, other than Caleb Williams, what other quarterback is better than Shador in the Pac-12? Penix, maybe. Like, I'm saying, like, that's how good.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, I'm just Penix is something we didn't think we would have said. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like,
to Cubby's point, hold on, to Cubby, I know you put it on the screen, Cubby. I just been picking little spots here and there to just say, yeah, I said that.
I can stand here and be like, hey, I called it wrong. You know what I'm saying? I really don't have a problem there. I've been wrong before. Been right before. Been wrong before.
Yeah,
I do it all the time.
Yeah, I don't know how many times we're going to be wrong this season because I'm not sure how many times we're going to pick Florida. I'm going to pick anybody other than Florida State the rest of the season.
Yeah.
I don't think Sam, I'm almost positive Sam probably won't pick against Florida State this season.
Well, this game and the Clemson game was the only two games that I had as toss up 50-50 games. And I had upset alert type games I had for Wake Forest and Pittsburgh.
Yep.
So, I mean,
neither Pittsburgh or Wake Forest should be able to outscore us, even if for whatever reason our defense plays horribly. And Clemson,
well, they got enough time.
I forgot who posted. Somebody posted. Maybe Staples. He posted. Basically, Duke runs the exact same offense and defense that we do. Yeah. So if that offense confused them and the defense shut them down, it's going to be a very long day for Clemson.
Yeah, but I don't want to get into that Fuller situation, but
yeah, we'll talk. Clemson may turn around and roll up 8-2.
Let's get
to Clemson when we get to.
Well, the thing about saying that Duke runs the same defense, well, I mean, Echo defense is way, way better coordinated than what ours have looked like in the last 3 years. You know, Echo is a damn good, he is the master of that defense. You know what I'm saying?
Very true. Yeah.
So they run it better. You know what I'm saying?
They just run it better. Yeah. I mean, do I believe we're going to play is, again, Clemson will not make all those turnovers, which, you know, aided to a lot of it. But also, we don't run it better, but we do have better athletes.
They got better athletes.
Duke should not have been able to stop Clemson. I know turnovers aided it, but Duke still shut down. Like, they stopped. We'll dive in. I don't want to really dive deep because I think Clemson missing talent. I think Clemson got a lot. I think Dabo need to adapt to the times. I also don't think Dabo's a good coach. And I said that once assistants. That's another I told you so, Cub.
I don't think Dabo was
a good coach. I never did. I thought he was a fortunate of having very good people around him. I don't think the people around him are as good as the people who were around him. Combine that with the fact that you are actively telling players, I don't want to pay you. In an era where players are trying to get paid, all this works against them.
So
in my opinion, I get and say, yeah, this is pretty much where they were headed.
But the problem with the Clemson situation is, you know, and I don't know why as FSU fans, we should understand this better than anybody. Like, bro, you don't stay on top forever. You don't stay on top for 25 years. You don't stay 100%. On top. You get to Ebs the top,
and falls, man. We be up, we be down.
You get to the top, and man, it takes. Go miss out on three recruiting classes of good wide receivers.
Yep.
Go have a bad run of some of your best wide receivers get hurt, and they never even make it to their full potential. You know, and then even when people say things like, you know, he was lucky to hire us. I mean, Dabo hired Brent Venables. Brent Venables about to get fired from Oklahoma. It ain't like he hired the best defensive coordinator in the country as he was the best defensive coordinator in the country. No, he was about to get fired. Like, Dabo plucked him up from Oklahoma, hired the coaches around him. Nobody knew who Chad Morris was before Dabo hired. Nobody knew who Tony Elliott was before Dabo hired these people.
But he got it right. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
All it takes is a Charles Kelly and somebody else, and it'll change how you, you know what I mean?
But that's my point, though. Every coach needs a good staff, man. Like, they be great. Every coach needs that, man.
I'm saying
other than Saban,
Nick seemed to be able to plug and play.
He can plug and play whoever he wants. But other than Saban, bro, everybody needs it. So I don't discredit the man for it, but I think
I'm not discrediting. I'm saying he's the cause of this, though. Like, that's
always,
what I'm saying.
Who else would be the cause of it? It's always the person that's the head coach. That's what we always blame.
Again, when Jimbo was being stubborn. And when Jimbo was being stubborn, it's on Jimbo. Jimbo, you got to adapt a little bit. This offense that you're running, we feel like it's antiquated, blah, blah, blah. You got to run. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's safe to say him being stubborn is the reason why his team is the way they are. He is the person who, if I'm not mistaken, said, if they start paying players, I'm going to find a new profession.
Right.
I don't know if he's still bought in like he used to. I can't say for sure. I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know
about
the man.
Yeah.
I'm happy for the demise, I must say. I am.
Yeah.
Because again, we got to take back the top. You know what I mean? Yeah. We got to get back on the throne, and we've been down long enough. We don't watch this Orange team, you know,
right,
beat our ass for a little bit of time. So listen, be bad. Because, like, you know what I mean? We try to get to a chip, and I was just kind of talking tongue in cheek before the season started. At this present moment, I'm dead ass. Like,
yeah, it's all on. It's all in front of you right now.
Everything at this, yeah, at this point, they are the number four ranked team. If you haven't seen the polls come out, they're number four ranked team. You in the playoff.
I mean,
if you don't do nothing different than what you did, you do this for the next 12 weeks, you in the playoff.
And I think the crazy thing about it, I think you got enough talent on this team where you should continue to get better.
Absolutely.
I didn't think, not last year's team. Well, last year's team, your team before that. You know, I thought it was a clear ceiling on those teams. Like, when people would get upset after the losses, I didn't really get upset. I'd be like, well, I think you're hitting your roof. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think you're hitting your top of your head on the ceiling right now. And that's okay, because you're still good enough to win some games. This team, in my opinion, if they can fix, like I said, they can fix some of that back end stuff, especially with the, you know, not being confused with motion.
I thought the linebackers played. Well, I ain't gonna talk about
it. Well,
I thought early on linebacker play was not very good.
I think it's some limitations there though. Like, I don't want to get into everything, but I think other than number four, who is really good, I think the other two, just they limited players. I mean, they do some good things. If they can get downhill, they can do some good things.
Yeah,
but so, you know,
here's the other thing. I also realize I don't know if there's a team who's gonna be able to run against us either. And that makes teams very one-dimensional. Like,
you know what's crazy? Coming out of that game, I was way more impressed with Fisk and Farmer.
Yep.
In that front. Edmund and me played really good in that front. Yep. You know, I don't want to get on other people. I think some people might be a little overrated at times. They do some nice things and obvious passing downs. But I thought Fisk and Farmer, man, really, really anchored that line.
They looked impossible to run. LSU realized very early, we're not getting this off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're not getting this off. And I think that's going to be consistent as well, which means that teams will absolutely have to throw the football.
Right.
May work out for some, but it probably ain't going to work out for most.
Yeah.
I
think they did a good job, man. I thought it was a real well-coached game by Mike. And, you know, I think the Fuller thing, I think that's just what it is, man. They're going to – a bunch of yards going to happen. You know, it's – people might score before half. It is what it is. But I think the offense put so much pressure on you that you have to keep up. And I think that creates a whole nother issue that feeds into your defense. So I think it's – to me
I was going to say, that was why I thought Chip Kelly's when you was like he was kicking field goals when he should have gone for it, when he should have been going – I was like, I mean, he should have been kicking field goals when you say – no, I thought he had to go for it. I think he understood – we aren't going to – like, they're going to score points. They fit – like, they're beating themselves right now. They're going to score points. We better go get these points.
Right.
Touchdowns are going to be very important right now, because I don't know if field goals are going to get it done. If they had three field goals instead of 17 points, it would have been – you know what I mean? It would have looked even worse. I think they had no choice but to go for the times that they did. Fortunately enough, our defense, again, they're limited, right, because their quarterback can't throw. So when the defense knows, dog, Jay ain't finna keep this ball. It was obvious. Jaden's finna keep the football. Like, you knew it. This is the design, which is why on that third, when he takes off on third down and goes for, you know, 60 or whatever, I'm like, dog, everybody know he was finna run the ball. Like, what are we doing here?
Right.
So now after that, it was like, okay, we know he's finna keep it. This is simple here. He gonna keep it, and if not, we'll get beat by somebody else. But again, Jaden Daniels is limited. I don't think very many teams will be able to exploit it, because I do think they should score some points, because, like you said, their offensive line is very good. Ours is better. Our defensive line was better.
I thought Fisk and Foreman, man, was really, really good. And I think, you know, with the next couple of games, you got Fable, you'll be able to kind of rest him and get him healthy as the season go on. I don't think he was healthy. I don't think he was healthy that game.
Who?
Fable.
Who said it? Fable. No, he didn't play, did he?
Played a little bit, didn't he? Thought I seen him out of flight, a couple snaps.
Okay, they probably, again, but when me and you talked off mic, I was like, there's no way he's been a walking boot up until this week. There's no way in the world they got him playing. I was like, they got him listed as number one, but it just was not possible for him to get into football shape in that much time, in my opinion. But I was glad. I mean, if he did, I don't recall him getting snaps, and maybe somebody, you know, look up them to see it.
I thought I saw him out there. But, you know, man, it was a good game, man. It was a big win, and I don't know, man. We'll find out next couple of weeks, but material-wise, I mean, to me, they're a top five team, material wise, top five, top six team to me. I mean, and with the schedule, it's possible be in the Final Four.
I'm trying not to be like, I will almost be disappointed if they're not. But I think based on how they played and who they played,
mm-hmm.
and how well they played, especially in the second half, showcasing how advanced, especially on offense and defense, how elite on offense and defense this team can be when everybody clicking. I'm tempered, but I almost feel like it would be a disappointment based on the fact that, again, you knew you had to get up in the polls. That means you had to beat a team. If we had beat them, 31-28, we probably wouldn't have moved up but a spot. LSU probably still been ahead of us, right? Let's say we won on the floor, like kind of how we did last year. We won the same way, we probably wouldn't have moved up that much. Winning as convincingly as we did, we got the second most first place votes. We had three first place votes. Michigan only had two.
I would have ranked FSU one after this
week. I don't want to be ranked one. I want them to still have something to work toward. I know it won't make a difference, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
I would have had a ranked one. I think I'd have had them. I think I would have had it. FSU.
Ahead of Georgia, huh?
Georgia.
I'm a fan of Penn State. I don't believe you could. I don't want to jump the champ until the champ lose. That's my opinion.
Well, okay.
I would have said two. I thought it should have been two. But yeah. I mean, again, I'm fine at four. Michigan, Ohio State, Alabama, there's gonna be some losses in there somewhere.
Yeah. And something else I have to give credit to too, as we like look at the season, it's 1 week, so things change from week to week. Teams will get better, teams are scheming up a little bit better. Mm-hmm. So, it's gonna be about this team like continuing to grow. But I think they got a lot of room to grow, and that's the positive part.
And that's what's scary. Yep. Yeah,
that's the positive part. They got a lot of room to grow. So
I think when Mike came on and said this was not our best game, we didn't play our best game. Like when he comes to the podium and say we didn't play our best game, you like, ooh, you're right. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Yeah, you rolled up 45 points, 31 unanswered, and you did not play your best game. It's like, oh man, okay.
Right.
Okay. Like that's right. We got room to grow still. Like you said, I don't even know if him and Coleman have even really gotten their connection. At this point, again, just ball placement. Throw it up in my vicinity. I'm gonna come down with it. When they actually get that a little bit better. When Johnny gets a little bit crisper as that offense, as the running backs, which
I think Johnny is what he is, man. I think that's who he is. That's not a bad player though, but that's not a bad player.
It's not.
That's who he is. I think people get, because my girl be laughing at me. We be sitting there watching the game, and I'd be like, "Well, they're gonna throw it to him six. He dropping two or three. So let's just." And she'd be like, "Nah. Look at he just caught that one pass. Then the next pass, like bloop." She's like, "What the hell?" I'm like, "That's just who he is." Sometimes,
calculate in the drops with it.
Yeah. You just gotta bake it into the equation.
Yeah. T.O. That's like 11 catches, but three of them. He gonna have three crucial drops. We gotta know that.
Calculate that
when you're running your offense. Yeah.
Terrell Owens was the same way, bro. Terrell Owens would catch six balls, but he would drop one or two. You'd be like, damn.
And it'd always be the easy one.
Yeah, you just baking into the equation, man. But not a bad thing because he's a good player, especially in college. You know what I'm saying? Especially in college,
Mike, Tally, you're right. Mike did tell them they were gonna score every play if they just focused. Every drive, and they really did that. Like for a coach wanting to tell you that, he know what he don't see in all offseason, so he know how dope you is. He also know how better you are than the team that you playing. Listen, we're here for a fun season, guys. We have not had one of these in a long time. Let's enjoy it. Let's take a win. I know we had already, talked about the championships and all like that. We've been talking about games. That's what fans do. But listen, we really got to enjoy the ride, man. We have had a lot of bad seasons. We've went through a lot of shit. We got some get back. You know what I mean? Like this gonna be let's roll up 60 on weight. You know what I mean? Let's get back for a couple of years. Let's get, If Clemson go out, let's hang 70 on Clemson. You know what I mean? We was in the stadium. We need to see a meme of one of Clemson's fans reading the book. You know what I mean? Like in the stands. We need some of them again. We ain't had those in a while, man. So I don't care if we don't call the dogs on nobody. If Southern Miss get 100 put on them, then Southern Miss got 100 put on them, man. Thank you for coming. Go on about your business. You know what I mean? And that's how I want this to really be like that all season. Because again, this man, we had to, as people who have watched this team for our entire lives, we have dealt in over these last few years. We've had to deal with the 4-8s and with the 5-win seasons and the and had to duck. We had to duck Clemson a few years back. I don't know if y'all remember that. You know what I mean? We ducked Clemson out of safety of our children. You know what I mean? Like we did that. You know what I mean? So when I say we gotta hang 60 on Clemson, we gotta hang 60 on Clemson because you know they also gonna do unspeakable things to us, and I'm glad for Mike to do that. I wanted him to duck a few more of those that season.
Yeah,
blame everything on COVID. I think he canceled the rest of the games, didn't he?
Man, but I tell you, man, it was great being out there, man. I got a chance to tailgate. I met a lot of people. That was cool, bumping into people and everything like that. Man, I was so tired yesterday when I got back. I was like, I'm too sleepy, man. I said, I can't record shit. I'm tired. Bro, like, come on, man, record. Like, man, I'm tired. I went to sleep, dude. I didn't wake up till like 8 o'clock right for the game.
Right. I fell asleep about what? I missed it. I caught it on like this morning. I fell asleep by 9. I was so exhausted from this. Man, I fell asleep 9 o'clock. I got text message below. They losing. They finna lose. We gotta get some. Yeah, this I get back here, y'all. There it is. Yeah, this I get back here. We like what did I say? We got receipts.
Yeah, bro. It felt like I got hit by a bus when I got back. I was like, God darn, dude. I woke up. I'm like, man, what in the hell? But it was fun though, man. We had a good ass time, man. Yeah, I did. I get to see that. I got to meet the Renegade Report. He was out there. George was out there. Nice meeting George. You know, it was nice, man. It was nice. Y'all should come to the tailgate one day. It's nice.
Yeah, man. Reborn. Getting out of this house is difficult, man. You know
that's good luck with that for the next 2 years.
I'm indoors, man. I done built a nice little man cave. I'm gonna tell you. You have to come around this weekend. We have to watch him hang 100 on what's his name? Well, yeah, watch him hang 100 on Southern Miss. So.
Yeah. Well, if anybody got any questions, no questions. I don't see no.
Man, ain't no questions. What's the questions? You know what I mean?
Man, they say Sam put some respect on DJ Lundy. Yeah, he was one good play.
Lundy,
shout out.
No, Lundy had a decent game.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, decent game.
First half of trash. Ref didn't help. Yeah, I agree.
They did not.
We did the Told Me So segment. Y'all told me so. I was dead ass wrong. This team's a juggernaut. Just like last year.
He said,
"Damn, why aren't you a real friend? I can't help myself. I keep going to the games. I don't know what my problem is. I got to stop this stuff." That's a good question, Kevin.
Listen, man, Sam don't just root against the team. Sam was rooting to be wrong. Sam believed what he believed. You know what I mean? Like Sam believed that LSU was going to be a juggernaut. And we did not know that we were a paper juggernaut before the game started. We thought we had heard everything. We seen all the additions. And then we were like, all right, well, if they play like they're supposed to, then, yeah, we'll see. I just happen to believe in the hype a little bit more than Sam.
I'm one of the people. I have to see stuff first. I have to see it first. I'm one of the people that I gotta see how all this stuff kind of translates. Then it kind of informs my decisions. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
But I will say, you know, I'm always glad to be wrong, to be honest with you, especially when I'm picking my team. You know what I'm saying? I'm always glad to be wrong about stuff like that. So that's good, man. But it was good, man. Now I get to watch my Jaguars this year. They're going to be great.
Peter King got us number one. Picked us as number one. I like it.
As we should be.
We
got the, if you're in the fantasy draft, it's tonight at 8 o'clock. So y'all make sure y'all be ready for that, whoever's in.
You put me out, right?
Yeah, I had to. I had to put you out.
Yeah. No, it's all right, man. I wasn't going to check that thing.
Somebody said, does LSU face a wide receiver as good as? Yeah, he does, actually. I think Wake Forest pretty low that wide receiver, man. Banks, and their quarterback, and they got a better quarterback. So I think that would be the best passing game you face the rest of the season, actually, would be Wake Forest. But like I said, I think you can outscore them, and I think we'll cause some problems with them on the line of scrimmage. So I think we should be going for it.
I was going to say that the difference, in my opinion, is that D-line. That D-line is going to cause havoc. Like you said, probably the best offensive line they're going to face all season long, and they were able to impose their will, especially that second half.
Yeah. You're talking about Duke. I agree with you. I think Duke's going to be another interesting game because I think Echo's a really, really good coach, and that's a really good – I'm going to tell you something. I don't count out really, really good coaches with a really good quarterback. I don't ever count them out. So I will say that will be a game. I just think we should be the outscore.
When you say a game, would you? I guess I'm at a relative point. Like, I agree with you. Wake Forest is going to be a game that you have to think about.
Duke, I mean, you can't go out there and play a C game. You can't play a C game. You can't have a multiple turnover game and have multiple miscues and beat them, because they're not going to beat themselves. Gotcha.
Okay. What would you call the first half against LSU? Like, what game were we playing then? The reason I'm asking is because I thought that probably was, I don't want to say the worst week of play, but I thought it was C-ish.
I don't think that was the worst week of play, because you didn't really turn the football over.
They did turn the football over. Jordan Travis threw an interception. He should have thrown the second.
He threw one.
No, it was the fumble. It was the fumble, and then I thought he was gonna throw the pick. No, he threw a pick. Yeah, because he muffed the punt, and then he threw the pick right afterwards.
Oh, you know what? He did throw a pick. Yeah, he threw one pick,
and he was headed to throw. Yeah, and he was about to throw another one, but you know, again, just it was.
Yeah, that would have been a touchdown. That was concerning.
That was gonna be a touchdown. Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, again, I thought Jordan could have looked, and I thought as bad offensively this team could have looked. I'm saying So I'm saying if the first half against LSU, our C game, we was only down 17-14. I would say a C game could beat Duke. I don't want, but it makes for a much closer game against Duke and Wake.
Yeah,
Forest.
But I don't think you could do that against somebody like Wake and Duke because of their quarterback play, because they can hit wide open receivers. You know what I'm saying? They can hit. So you can't fumble and kick the. Like, you can't do what Clemson did yesterday. Like, how that way was just. Funneling the ball around and stuff like that.
Okay.
You can't play like that.
A lot of turnovers, stuff like that. Yeah, okay.
You could turn the ball over probably five times and beat the team you're gonna play next week, right?
You can play. You can play your F game. You're gonna win the game.
Yeah, like, you'll probably still beat them.
Yeah,
by
you don't
a
have
lot
to start Jordan, and you should still win by a lot. Yeah.
Right. But I'm saying you couldn't do that against Duke or against Wake. You couldn't do that.
Yeah.
You couldn't have
it. And I agree with that. And that's what I was. I guess that's kind of what I was asking, because like. When I look at the games, I'm saying I can't see them losing another game. At this point, I'm saying, like, do we have close games or the rest of – is it 2013 all over again? That's kind of what I'm saying. Because if you say Duke's going to be a problem, all right, 2013, Duke was, you know, the best, in my opinion. We had seen them. They still got to be 31-0.
Right.
But can I see another 31-0? Yeah.
But I think it's going to take a team with really good QB play to beat you, though. Right,
which is why Wake is probably the closest one.
Right,
in my opinion.
Right.
Because Wake will be the one that I might be a little bit more nervous for.
And because what they can do with those wide receivers, because I think they got three NFL guys at wide receiver. Personally, I mean, I think that dude Banks is like a really good. I think he's really really good. I think the other two guys they got, those two speed guys they got, are really really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, Wake could cause you but you should dominate the line of scrimmage against Wake.
Talking talent for talent. I'm not, again, I get with Duke and everything like that, and I get from a scheme standpoint, but Duke should not be talent for talent.
No, you able should
to
beat
line
them.
Up with you us. Beat them that's, by, I guess that's what I'm saying. You know. Like, when I get it, Duke decent, but it's hard for me to look at and say, even where with the talent that we have on our roster, mm-hmm. I don't believe Duke should beat us. Now, again, I guess Clemson can say the same thing, and they just lost. So, right.
You can't do – it's like kind of like when you play against a good quarterback and a good coach that's not going to kill himself, you can't give them extra possessions. You can't hand them possessions, right?
Like,
I mean, you saw that
turnovers
with,
can definitely make a big difference. And you saw that if with, we don't turn the ball over, that's what I mean.
Yeah, you saw that with Colorado and TCU. Like, I thought TCU was a better team than Colorado, right? On the line of scrimmage, you could tell them, see them wearing on Colorado. Yeah. But you can't turn the ball over twice in the red zone against that team, right? Because you're giving Shador – two more possessions. You know what I'm saying?
And he was going to make you pay. And he, the way he was dialed in, he was going to make you pay.
Yeah. Dude, can we talk about him real quick, dude?
I'm not surprised by it. The kid was a four-star quarterback coming out of high school. We wanted him. You know what I mean? Like, I've always thought he was good. Like, I really never thought, like, that other son, but Shador is a baller, and I've been saying that since. Yeah, I wanted him here when we were in the recruitment for him or whatever. I know for a fact we talked about getting Shedeur Sanders here. So no, me, I wasn't surprised by it. I actually expected him to play well. When I actually said I think like Colorado may be okay, I said it was because they got Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter. You got a quarterback and a wide receiver. That was my thought process. And this was before I thought they were going to beat, you know.
Yeah, I think
the defending guys was in the championship last year. I didn't think that. But I did think they had, you know, they were going to be decent just because I thought some of those worser teams that they got on their schedule, I thought Shedeur and Travis Hunter could account for a win or two.
Yeah, I think watching him, dude, I was telling my friend, I said, you can tell that training he get from Brady, like it's take hold because he does stuff that, like I watched the quarterback from Clemson last night. He was hitting Shipley on those swing routes, but Shipley literally had to stop to catch the football. You know what I'm saying?
That dude is not generational like the other guys they've had in there.
Yeah, but I'm just
saying.
That's
the other thing about
Clemson. But a lot of quarterbacks do that, though, in college. But Shedeur, everybody he hits him in stride. So, like, he maximized the amount of yards you can get per play. Like, when he throw the football to people. Like, so instead of being like a 5 yard, you hit a breaking in route for 5 yards. He hit you in stride. Now it's like 15 yards. You know,
you got really good, and they got good receivers. Like
again,
Travis Hunter, that boy Horn was good, and that running back as fast as all get us. Like
and Weaver,
yeah, like they got good skill. Now again, they don't have nothing on the lines on either one of their lines.
The offensive line is good. That's a big offensive line because I looked at the thing. Okay. It's like they like 6'8", 320, 6'6", 300. Okay. Yeah, so they're big on offense. That D line is just that defense line.
That defense line ain't it.
Yeah, they can cover though. They can cover,
and that makes a. And that's again. It's hey man. Anyway, listen, man. We want to know,
and I'm gonna try to do some
take it a game at a time.
I'm gonna start putting out some like reaction pods. Like they'll be like 30 minutes, really short, 30 minutes. So that way I don't have to always, cause sometimes me and Brandon always having to coordinate. So we'll give y'all the one live pod. And I think I'll try to do like a 30 minute reaction pod once during the week about something, you know what I'm saying? For more content. And I know me and Nikki are talking about starting back up. We'll do more NFL stuff. So man, y'all tune in, stay with us. You know, go try to get more content out, man. This was great. Feels good to be back. Feels good to be 1-0. Feels good to be playing for something. You know what I'm saying?
Man, like just playing, like having like something to do on Saturdays. Cause I ain't gonna lie, it got at one point, man. It was like, oh, they do play today. I don't know. You know what I mean? I might go to the beach. I'm gonna have it on in the background while I do something else. You know what I mean? Like it stopped being appointment TV. I imagine there's not a Florida State fan who ain't got the rest of it. Hey, I don't know what you got planned for these next Saturdays. Cancel them. You know what I mean? Like cancel.
Oh yeah, it's gonna be appointment viewing now. It's appointment viewing now. Cancel. Yeah, this is must see TV.
Again, and the brand is the brand.
Yeah.
What they had to set the highest viewership of the weekend because the brand is the brand. We keep saying it.
Yeah, and I'm gonna make sure I put the podcast, Apple Podcast, in the live chat right now. Copy the link. I'm gonna drop that, man. So yeah, if you on YouTube, you're not on Apple with us, make sure you jump in to Apple, subscribe to the show,
subscribe,
hit some like buttons on the Apple stuff, and hit some like buttons on the pod, man. Brandon, got anything else?
Nah, man, that's it.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate you guys. You know, keep rocking with us. 5-star your boys, and let's get ready. It's gonna be some ass whoopings this weekend. I mean, it's these coming weeks. It's gonna be some ass whoopings coming. Ass whoopings on the way.
Yeah. We serving them. Yeah,
serving them. Yep. All right.
We out.
Start to listen up podcast. Yep. Yep.